Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this morning to worship you and to join together as we wait for the advent of Jesus, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice in this moment. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your worship folder are a series of notes, sermon notes that you can pull out and follow along with. On the other side is a devotional set of scriptures that you can take home with you this week. If you're listening online, both of those documents are in a PDF file, downloadable PDF file. So I was thinking this morning, what should we start off with? And I thought we should start off with a Christmas quiz. A Christmas quiz. Oh, by the way, the answer to this morning's question was Ohio State University did win the Big Ten football championship. I thought they were going to lose. Wisconsin put on a great show in the first half, but Ohio State conquered in the second. No swearing, right? No swearing in church. All right, so here's our Christmas quiz. Quiz. Of the biographies of Jesus, or commonly known as the Gospels, there are four books, and they are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, only two of those Gospel writings talk about the time of Jesus' birth. Talk about the time of Jesus' birth. Which two tell Jesus' birth story out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Which two tell the story? Write it down on your sermon notes if you'd like to, or just keep it in your mind. Da 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 da. Oh, and the answer is Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke spend time writing about Jesus' birth, and both Mark and John bypass the birth altogether. Mark really begins with John the Baptist as an adult moving toward the baptism of Jesus, and John opens up simply stating that Jesus was God, that John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus, and that those who received Jesus and believed on his name, they had the right to become children of God. That's how John opens up. For many, we know the birth accounts are written in the Gospels, but we don't always quite remember where they are. Now for the second question of our quiz. In Matthew and Luke, the writers take different paths to the birth of Jesus. One is focused more on Mary's experience, and one is focused more on Joseph's experience. So my Christmas quiz question is, which writer writes more of Mary, and which writer writes more of Joseph? Write it down on your sermon notes, or keep it in your mind. Da 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 da. And the answer, Matthew focuses mostly on whose experience? Joseph's experience. Therefore, Luke focuses mostly on Mary's experience. Both of these questions, which two Gospels contain Jesus' birth account, and the second question, which focuses more on which Gospel wrote from which parent's perspective, are questions and answers we perhaps knew at one time or did know to this morning, but we're reminded that memories can get a little fuzzy over times. I remember one of the happiest and saddest times of my life happened at Christmas. As a 9-year-old, I accidentally found where Mom and Dad had hidden the Christmas presents. Not really searching for them, I lifted the corner of a blanket on the floor in the utility room across from the washer and dryer, and there were unwrapped presents. Mm-hmm. And when I lifted that corner, I saw only remember one present. I may have seen more, but I only remember one, and that was the G.I. Joe astronaut with the space capsule. Was I happy? Christmas morning came, and my twin brother opened up his present, which was, of course, my G.I. Joe astronaut with the space capsule. one of the saddest moments in my life. I received a G.I. Joe scuba diver with a diving sled. My G.I. Joe was really cool, but I thought I was getting the other one, and at some level continued to long for that G.I. Joe space capsule. Now that's a silly memory, but there are more serious memories we all carry, and over time they become a little fuzzy. They're subjective to us. Others don't see it the same way we saw it, and we may not even have the whole picture in mind. Some of those events are happy events. Some of those events are sad. You remember when you say, I remember when Uncle so-and-so did such-and-such, and somebody else, an adult, would say, I don't remember that. It's all subjective, right? Such that we know memories can cause us to be stuck in the past. Memories can cause us to be stuck in the past, oftentimes because we were somehow harmed or hurt, physically or emotionally, something said or unsaid, whether intentional or unintentional. We have been wronged and trampled and cannot forgive the person or persons who harmed us. Or maybe we did more of the harming, intentionally or not, and we feel that we are terrible people and are not worthy of forgiveness. Sometimes it isn't anyone's fault per se, but someone died and we blame God for that or any number of other things. God, that space capsule should have been mine, right? God, why did you let that person hurt me? God, why couldn't you let that person live? God, why couldn't I have stopped my anger at that person? And the list goes on and on. Either way, the incident or incidences keep us trapped such that we cannot fully enjoy the Advent season or Christmas. In fact, we loathe the season and just simply wish to be left alone. Remember Ebenezer Scrooge? Carolers coming to his door? Bah, humbug. Two men looking for donations for the poor? Bah, humbug. His nephew Fred coming and inviting him for Christmas Day dinner? Bah, humbug. And we note that Ebenezer Scrooge was one of those who was living his life out in the present, but he was truly stuck in the past, as you would see as the movie goes on. You remember when Scrooge meets with the ghost of Christmas past, the first ghost. He is shown scenes of both happiness and sorrow. Moments when he was stuck in boarding school because his father didn't want him to come home. Or memories of when his sister came and brought him home one winter break. Memories of when he met and fell in love. A memory of when she saw his love for money was greater than his love for her and she broke off the engagement. The joy of good relationships with his sister and of being engaged. The sorrow of broken relationships with his father and eventually his fiancée. Living in anger of being unloved by one. Living in regret of decisions to seek love and material possessions. And we note that Christmas can be painful. Painful time when mistakes or losses are often brought to mind amid the cheer of the season. Last week we sang the song, O Come, Emmanuel, O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Until the Son of God appears. Sorrow. Ransom captive. Mourns in lonely exile. A God who brings not only peace, but a God who brings hope and healing from a baby born in a little town called Bethlehem. A hope of healing from our past experiences in life. A hope for a brighter future. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive you and me that mourn in lonely exile here, prisoners to memories that we have had in our past. But then it says this, O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. Sing the rest with me. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. And the hope of all people came, wisdom from on high, to bring order to our lives, to show us the way to go, to lead us on a path of knowledge that we might find hope and healing, not in a future moment when we enter past the gates of heaven, but healing today in this lifetime now, not choosing to live in the past, not choosing to relive the past in our present over and over again, trapped in it, bound by it, and past our past shaping us who we have become. As Charles Dickens showed how Scrooge needed to look backward, sometimes we need to look backward in order to move forward. We must do that too. I sometimes think we overlook the true meaning of Christmas. You see, I love to celebrate Christmas in that Jesus came to earth in the form of a baby, which is really, really touching. It really is. And that darling young woman, Mary, giving birth to that little baby. And Joseph accepting that little baby as his own and together raising him up to know God, his heavenly Father. Those are all wonderful stories. We must remember, yes, Jesus came, Emmanuel, God to be with us. And in that we rejoice. But Jesus came for another purpose. And as we celebrate the birth, we must also embrace the purpose of Emmanuel. And in doing so, we can really rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, right? Shall come to thee, O Israel. In our scripture this morning, Jesus is no longer the baby boy, but begins his ministry that would challenge the world around him. And challenging people then, and yet still challenging and changing people today. As was read with us, read earlier, read it with me again. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Come follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. And their response, it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. He ended up calling James and John, two other brothers, to do the same. And their response was exactly the same. And so we know one purpose Jesus came, one of the purposes that Jesus came was to draw everyone to himself. To draw everyone to himself. We got to move past the birth and remember the purposes of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus went to where they were and said, come. Come, follow me. Jesus is still in the business of saying to all people, come, come and follow me. He says that to you and to I this morning. Come, come, follow me. He says that to those to whom you will bring on Christmas Eve. Come, come, follow me. Even to the most Scrooged ones around us. In your life and in mine, Jesus says, come, come, follow me. That was a part of the coming or the advent of Jesus. But further on in this passage, after the calling of people to himself, it says this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, read the rest with me, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, there are many things we could draw out of this passage. But we focus on another important reason that Jesus came, and that's the second purpose. Jesus came was to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God was coming and would one day be fully realized here on earth. How many times have I heard someone say to me, "I cannot wait till heaven comes"? Yet heaven has come down. And through you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it is slowly being established here on earth. And I'd love to spend some more time here, but the next purpose is really, really important to our Scrooges in our lives and to you and I. And that's the third purpose. The third purpose Jesus came was to heal us. Was to heal us. And if you understand the healings Jesus performed while on earth, then and even today, they were important, but not the ultimate end game. The healings highlighted that Jesus, God with us, had a power source that was out of this world. Because of the healings, people flocked to Jesus because they wanted to be healed physically most often. And I think Luke captures this in a different way than Matthew, which gives us a fuller understanding of what healing was meant to ultimately do. We come to this right before Jesus calls the disciples. He's in a synagogue and he reads a bit of Isaiah's prophetic words. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus says, "is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." And we just heard that from Matthew, right? Proclaiming the good news. But it's the second half that I believe clarifies the healing that Jesus wishes all of us to experience, a hope that many desire to experience even in this lifetime. And that's this. Read it with me. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Again, we see proclaim not just the good news, but to proclaim what? Freedom. Freedom. Freedom from, for whom? For the prisoners. To give sight to whom? The blind. And to set whom free? The oppressed. Now understand that Jesus healed some of the physical and even mental illnesses of his day, as well as setting people free from oppression. Oppression from the evil one, as well as oppression from others around them. But we note that Jesus' ultimate purpose was to set people free who are imprisoned, blind, and or oppressed. To set them free in this life now, not in some future coming of heaven. Like Scrooge, people have experienced stuff in the past. Harm or hurt done to them, as well as harm or hurt done to others, which has imprisoned them from really living life now. They're blind to what causes them hurt today, and therefore are oppressed and not truly free. But Jesus came to set you and them free in this life now, today. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. That path of knowledge is this. Jesus has come to redeem us from our past. Yes, Jesus redeems us for eternity, but we know Jesus has come to redeem us from our past, that we might truly live today in the present. We do not need to be bound from experiencing all God wants us to experience in this lifetime. Peace, hope, joy, trust, love. Today, friends, today Jesus wants to set some of you free from what has kept you in prison, from truly enjoying the life God has given you to live. Maybe someone in your life has hurt you terribly. Today, you need to simply forgive them. Jesus has come to redeem your past. Maybe it's you who have harmed another or others and you cannot forgive yourself. Today, you simply need to forgive yourself. You see, Jesus has come to redeem your past. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive everyone here that mourns in lonely exile until the Son of God appear. A God who brings not only peace, but a God who brings hope and healing from a baby boy in a little town called Bethlehem, who calls you now to act, to forgive, to allow hope and healing from your past so that you can truly live in your present. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the pallid path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. We're going to enter into a time of prayer now, and I believe that God is showing you, the Holy Spirit is showing you, in your own mind, those things that you have been hurt about, or those things that have hurt you, or those things that you may have hurt somebody else, and forgiveness needs to take place. And I want you to live into your present with the hope, with joy, with courage. It takes courage to forgive others who have hurt you. It takes courage to let go of those things that have hurt you. It also takes courage to admit when you've harmed another. Those are things that God wants for you to let go of. So let us go to prayer, and I'll lead you in that prayer. Almighty God, we, your children, come to you this morning. We who have been redeemed by your Son's blood come to you and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to think of what the Holy Spirit has shown us this morning, the sadness in our hearts over something that happened, the frustration in our lives of something that we might have done. Lord, we come to you now and ask that you would help us in this moment to forgive those people who have harmed us. And so in Jesus' name, in your hearts and minds, I want you to name those persons that have hurt or harmed you in the past. And now I need to hear you say, I forgive you. Say that. I forgive you. Maybe there are some things that you have done that have hurt others. Maybe you're not even quite sure that it was you, but maybe it was you and maybe it wasn't. But there are things that we've said. There are things that we've done that have hurt or harmed another. And so in your heart and mind, name those persons whom you have hurt or harmed. Name them to God. They can't hear you now, but God can. And so now you need to say, Lord, forgive me. Say that with me. Lord, forgive me. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that as these transactions have been done here on earth and done in heaven, that you would now set us free from any oppression that may have come from them. Set us free to live now in the present as we continue to wait once again for the arrival of Christ to come. And all God's people said, amen.